the rest of the story. They are trite phrases which have crept into our English language over the years. Life of the party, toast to the town, belle of the ball, yet all of them might originally have been contrived to describe Jenny. At 21, Jenny was more than pretty and bright. She was a young woman of extraordinary beauty and beguiling wit. Devoted to the social grand manner, Jenny was always flirting with flamboyance, like a butterfly, flitting in dangerous proximity to a gaudy flame. Her flashing eyes and intoxicating laughter were necessary facets to the best bashes in New York, in Paris, in London. To immortalize one of her own parties, she invented the Manhattan cocktail. Of all of the things we know that Jenny did, none was ever done in a small way. And then one day, she outdid herself. Jenny's doctor had advised her not to attend the ball, considering her condition. But Jenny miss a party? Oh, never. 21 years young, scintillating socialite, Jenny Jerome, had been married for several months. Jenny's husband, a socially prominent young fellow named Randy, had lavished upon his American bride a charming home in London, replete with butler and footman and housemaid. The location just 3 doors from Berkeley Square. As Jenny put it, it was très chic, and it seemed there were always parties going on there, parties and dances, and there was one event on the social calendar that Jenny was determined to attend, the annual St. Andrew's Ball at Blenheim Palace. Her doctor advised it would be unwise. You see, Jenny was pregnant, and yet it was such caution over her pregnancy that had caused her to miss a longed-for September in Paris, and Jenny was just not accustomed to missing out on the fun, and so she announced to her obstetrician she would attend the ball at Blenheim. The grand evening arrived. Jenny was dancing in the magnificent palace ballroom when, at the height of the festivity, she became faint and asked to be excused. Her gown flowing gently, she hurried past the endless suite of drawing rooms, through the palace library, known as the longest room in England, and then down the longest corridor in the world, a quarter mile of red carpet, until she found the ladies' cloakroom, and there in that small room, on a small bed heaped with fur coats and feather boas and velvet capes, Jenny went into labor. It had all happened so quickly, too quickly, for her own obstetrician to be notified, so a local physician was summoned. There was, in fact, more time to spare than anybody had imagined. Jenny's labor lasted 8 hours. But very early the next morning in that same cloakroom, her child was born safely. It was casually observed then, and later whispered in social circles, that Jenny, only 7 months married, had borne a full-term baby, had borne a robust, fully developed baby with not a trace of prematureness. And this, of course, raised eyebrows among those not acquainted with Jenny, but those who knew her just smiled. You see, on November 30, 1874, on the occasion of the annual St. Andrew's Ball, in a cloakroom in Blenheim Palace, an American newlywed named Jenny, the life of the party, the belle of the ball, who had refused to miss this one, the high-spirited young socialite who never did anything in a small way, gave birth to Winston Churchill. Now you know the rest of the story.